Our scripture lesson this morning is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Back before airplanes and before air conditions, a gentleman was traveling by train, and there were two ladies having a disagreement. One said the window needed to be raised or she would surely die of a heat stroke. The other lady said the window had to be closed or she would surely die of pneumonia. So when the ticket inspector came by, they asked him to mediate. And he couldn't come up with a solution. So the man sitting in the middle said, well, I've got a solution. First open the window and that'll kill one of them. Then close the window, that'll kill the other one. Then we'll all have some peace. Your life is full of chaos. It's full of discord, and it has always been. It was when the book or the letter to the Ephesians was written. Now, Ephesians is a fascinating composition. Tradition believes that it was written by Paul when he was in prison. It's a letter that's full of hope, a letter full of promise. It takes us to heights of joy as we are reminded of how much Jesus, the very personification of God, of the universe, loves us. The author is so enthralled with the love and hope and promise of Jesus that he appears to nearly be unable to contain himself. The author appears to be desperate for us to grasp the message of love and hope and possibility. Yet the writer, presumably Paul, was also very aware of the unfairness of life. The author was fully aware of the dangers of life. The author was fully aware of to what extent human beings will go to inflict harm on one another. So how could someone sitting in prison, who has faced about every harsh condition that a person could face, every evil attack from people that a person could endure, and then write a letter of such loftiness? A letter of such deep conviction of love and hope and promise. Well, they were able to write such a letter because they had already experienced what they were praying for the Ephesians to experience. He said that I pray out of the glorious riches that he may strengthen you with all the power through his Spirit in your inner being. I believe most of you have probably heard, maybe even read, maybe even been to some of her presentations, Joni Erickson Tada, young woman who, I believe it was the age of 18, give or take, was injured in a diving accident, became a quadriplegic the rest of her life. I'm going to read something from her, and I rarely just read a whole illustration, but I'm afraid if I try to paraphrase it, I won't do it justice. So allow me to read something that Joni Erickson Tata wrote. Quote, "Honesty is always the best policy, but especially when you're surrounded by a crowd of women in a restroom during a break at a Christian women's conference. One woman putting on her lipstick said, 'Oh, Joni, you always look so together, so happy in your wheelchair. I wish I had your joy.' Several women around her nodded in agreement. 'How do you do it?' she asked as she capped her lipstick. 'I don't do it,' I said. 'In fact, I'll tell you honestly how I woke up this morning. This is an average day.' And I breathe deeply. After my husband Ken leaves for work at 6 a.m., I'm alone until I hear the front door open at 7. That's when my friend arrives to get me up. While I listen to her make coffee, I pray, 'Oh Lord, my friend will soon give me a bath, get me dressed, sit me up in my chair, brush my hair and teeth, and send me out the door. I don't have the strength to face this routine one more time. I have no resources. I don't have a smile to take into the world today. But you do. May I have yours? God, I need you desperately.' So what happens when your friend comes through the dark bedroom door?" one of them asked. I turn my head toward her and give her a smile sent straight from heaven. "It's not mine. It's God's." And so I said, gesturing to my paralyzed legs, "Whatever joy you see today was hard won this morning. I've learned that the weaker we are, the more we need to lean on God, and the more we lean on God, the stronger we discover Him to be." End quote. In the prison of being a quadriplegic, this once athletic woman has experienced Paul's prayer for all Christians in the letter to the Ephesians. I saw her one time on a Gaither video, and I could see what the ladies saw in her. She virtually glowed. And I know the first thing somebody's going to say, "Well, John, it was the stage lighting." No, it wasn't. Because I saw the other, for lack of a better word, performers of the video. They were under the same stage lighting. They had the same makeup artist. They didn't have her glow. You could see it in her eyes. You could hear it in her voice. You could see it in her face. Joni Erickson Tata exudes a joy and a peace rarely ever seen in an individual, much less one facing the struggles that she faces until the day she dies. Such joy and peace cannot be contrived. It cannot be manufactured. It can't be faked. It comes from the strength of the Holy Spirit deep within one's heart and soul. And you know what? I'm convinced that we will never settle the turmoil in this world. We will never settle the turmoil in our own community. Actually, if there's any turmoil in a congregation, it will never be settled. We will never settle any turmoil in our family until we settle within our own hearts, in our own minds, in our own souls. Folks, if we're unhappy with ourselves, we can't be happy with anybody else. If a congregation is in turmoil with itself, it cannot be an influence for good for the community around it. If our nation is not happy with itself, there's no way we're going to carry any weight with the rest of the world. Giving various authors the benefit of the doubt, even the best human attempts at producing goodwill and harmony have only served to produce ill will and disharmony. Have you ever noticed something? You don't have to be a sociologist. You don't have to be a psychologist. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a philosopher. You don't have to be any other ology. Have you ever noticed that it seems that every well-intentioned human invention at making life better nearly always has an unintended effect to the negative? As we try to make one person happy, we make another person unhappy. As we try to make one group feel better, we make another group feel alienated. And I will go so far this morning as to say that when we divide ourselves into any group of whatever type, we are being anti-Christian. Because if you'll notice, the conservatives believe that the liberals are immoral. The liberals believe that the conservatives are immoral. The older folks feel like the younger folks are immoral. Do I need to go on? Whatever group we consider ourselves part of, we consider ourselves morally superior to the other. And as we do that, we don't bring ourselves together, we further alienate each other. And that only leads to further separation, further discord, further conflict. The truth is, there's only one way to bring families together. There's only one way to bring communities together. There's only one way to bring churches together. There's only one way to bring races together. There's only one way to bring nations together. And first, that is that we will come together as we individually experience the love, the hope, and the calling of Jesus Christ. So all I'll ask you this morning, and again, for those of y'all who are not, don't come to Walker all the time, let me state it again. Whenever I ask these questions, I'm not the judge. I don't want to know the answer. Frankly, it's not my business. But in the name of God, between you and God, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Do you know deep down that peace, that joy, that Paul and Joni experienced? Deep down in your heart and soul, do you realize how much Jesus, the personification of the God of the universe, loves you? Now, sometimes those of us who have been raised in the church confuse religion and Christian faith. Paul was among the most religious men of his time, but prior to his Damascus Road confrontation with Christ, he killed and imprisoned every Christian he could get his hands on. After Paul met Christ on the Damascus Road, he realized how much Jesus loved him. And that love became so much a part of Paul that when he was writing concerning, we always think of Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles, but he was a Jew first, and he loved his Jewish brothers and sisters. I wish I could remember chapter and verse again. I think it's Romans. But Paul went so far, and I'm paraphrasing now, but he said, I would gladly go to hell myself if it would save my brothers and sisters. Whoa! Now that is love. The love of Christ took a man who was trying to destroy every Christian he could get his hands on, and converted him to the point that he said, I love my brothers and sisters so much that if it would save them, I would volunteer to go to hell. Wow. Whether or not you have been religious, have you experienced the realization of the unmistakable love of Jesus for you? Now, we can't predict what prison's life may be, that life may thrust upon us. This side of heaven, we're going to encounter our share of disappointments, heartache, and grief. Even so, as did Paul, as does Joni Erickson Tada, we can live enveloped by a love and peace and strength that are beyond human comprehension. And this is God's gift to all that submit their lives to Jesus and experience his boundless, indescribable love. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, you know each of us in this service. Lord, you know those places where we've seen ourselves as morally superior to another. You know those times when we've been religious, but not necessarily Christian. You know those prisons that life tries to thrust us into to rob us of our joy. You know the conflicts between human beings, be it spouses, be it nations. And so, Lord, according to the need of each person here, touch us all, that this day we may know a bit more that inner peace, that inner joy that passes all understanding because of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ who loves us with a love that we cannot comprehend resides in us. And may that love spread from us to all we encounter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And according to the bulletin, y'all got one more song for us?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you, preacher, for that message. It's always a blessing to hear you and the message God sends through you. Aren't you thankful for the victory that Jesus Christ gives us through his shed blood on the cross and resurrection? Amen. I want to invite you to sing this song with us. Victory in Jesus.